You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I'd like to challenge her to a little bowl off. I would be put in my place very quickly. Story here from Channel 5. 14-year-old Avery Bourne has quite the gash on her thumb these days, but she has a pretty cool story to go along with it. The Liberty native who made history in February of last year when she became, this is from Channel 5, the youngest Missouri girl to ever bowl a perfect 300, has now won two national championships in under 2 weeks. And she and sister and dad, who is also her coach, join us in studio this afternoon.
Welcome, all of you.
Hello.
Hi.
Avery, sweetheart, what year were you? How old when you started bowling?
I was 4 years old.
And what did you like about it? Because at age four, you know, most kids are gluing macaroni on pages in like preschool. What was it about bowling that you loved at age four?
I didn't really know much. Like, I just got put in lease because my grandpa and my grandma own a bowling alley in Excelsior Springs. And so they just wanted me to try it out, and I ended up liking it. But I would always get angry because I was in the bumper league for a little bit when I was four, and I would throw it straight down the middle and not get as many of pins as the other kids who would be bouncing it off the
bumper. We're 55, and we're still in the bumper league.
Clint, Dad, when did you know this was something? Like, when did you know, what age where you were like, she's really good?
About the age of 10 is when we realized that she was picking up things that some of the other kids in leagues were just not understanding. That's when we started really pushing tournaments and making sure she was at league every week and starting to develop. And then when we got to the age 12, it really took off at 12. And that's when she really started picking her game up quite a bit.
But Dad, to the novices in the room, and that's me and Dana, when you say she was picking up things that other kids her age could, what do you mean by that?
So, like, counting boards, like the board you stand on when you start, you know, counting the boards on the lane, hitting marks on the lane, like what dot and what the arrows mean. And, you know, in billiards, kind of like the same thing with the dots on the side of the rails, you know, it's bowling's the same, it's geometry. And, you know, finding that right angle and the right ball and just her hand placement behind the ball. It's just, it's a net. She has a natural ability, and her grandfather's teaching has just really brought out the best in what she has.
And real quick, just for our other listeners, you said girls bowling, especially with college scholarships, has just exploded. She's already getting attention from some big name colleges.
Sure. Yeah. She's got quite the following on social media. You know, obviously Division I colleges can't talk to her yet. You have to be a junior in high school before D1 can start talking to you, but the interest is there. And scholarships in women's bowling is huge. One, because there's just not as many girls as there are on the boys' side. You know, with boys, there was over 1,000 boys in the U18 division, you know, at junior gold, and there was 179 U14 girls.
Wow.
So now that jumps up. There was like 300 in U16 and U18, but, you know, at this age, most girls haven't really started to develop that skill set yet.
Yeah.
But how do you know? Because you're right, universities can't start talking to Avery until she's a junior in high school. What does the attention or the looking at look like? They can't tell you they're coming to watch, can they? Or do they have to?
No, they don't have to. And there was plenty of colleges in Minnesota. Yeah. There were several that were in and out of the building. Now, being in the U14 division, we didn't see the D1 coaches as much as the U16 girls U18 girls, because they're trying to lock down their rosters for the next year or two and not looking super far in the future. But at the moment, it's just them liking her material and her potential that she puts online. Yeah.
Avery, tell us about your perfect 300. You are the youngest person in the history of the state of Missouri to bowl a perfect game.
I think that's pretty cool. And the bowling alley that I threw it at, my papa actually used to work there too before he bowled, he bought the one now.
Were you in a competition when it happened, or were you just bowling?
Yeah, it was a tournament. It was a family tournament. So, like, I think I was bowling with my dad.
And you're used to throwing strikes, but just not that many, maybe in a row, one after another after another. Did you start getting nervous, like, toward the ninth frame?
What was going through your mind as you go to those late frames?
I know that when I start getting on, like, a streak like that, I get, like, fast with my feet, and then, like, my timing gets messed up and everything. So I was just telling myself to, like, stay slow and, like, not mess up.
But with the last ball that you were throwing, I mean, was there a crowd gathered around?
Yeah.
You were shaking.
I was.
And what was your reaction when all of them fell?
I was just like, oh, my gosh.
Just pure joy and giddiness.
Were you there, Dad? Were you there?
Oh, I was there. Yeah, it was the Missouri Bowling Proprietors Family Adult Youth Tournament, and it was the zone round. So we already advanced out of the house round, and we were at the zone round to go to state, and she beat me pretty bad.
And Hadley, you're Avery's little sister. What is it like to go and watch her compete?
Well, sometimes I'm, like, super bored because I'm not all into that stuff.
Kids say the darndest things, don't
they? Yeah, you're a dancer, not a bowler.
Yeah, I'm not really into that stuff. But when it came down to when she was the 300, my dad told me to record. Yeah. And I had no clue what was going on. So I thought it was just recording for Instagram or TikTok.
Right.
And everyone, like, when all of the pins fell down, everyone started, like, cheering. And I was like, what is happening?
Avery, you're like, I'm kind of a big deal here. Avery, what do you hope? Let's start with this. What has bowling given you? What has this sport given you?
It's given me tons of friendships from all over the country. And it's given me opportunities to go to college and hopefully go to college and to start saving money for college.
Because there's cash prizes in some of these, right?
So, yeah, bowling is the only sport where youth can start earning scholarships at the age of 5.
Wow.
So, and the USBC has a dedicated, what they call a smart account. So any funds that you win through leagues or tournaments or whatever, you know, scholarship opportunities, it goes into an account and is held in that account until the bowler is ready to continue their education after high school.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
Now, are they allowed, like in the case of Avery, if she wins a tournament and it's not a scholarship, let's say there's a pot of $100 or $200, is she allowed to keep it that? Or is
no.
No.
No, yeah.
Because then she'd be like not an amateur, right?
So like next weekend, we're going to be bowling down in Cape Girardeau in the Missouri Queens tournament. So that's an adult tournament. But we're going to take her down there anyway because she's going to be able to compete with the older women.
Yeah.
That is a cash tournament. But if she places, that money she would have won will actually just get sent to her smart account.
Okay. Okay, so you do get it. It's just on hold. What is it like competing against adults when you go to these tournaments and you're, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old, but you're bowling against people who are 60?
I don't know. I just feel like they think that I'm a little kid, but like...
Well, you are.
Well, that's not what I mean. Like, as in, like, they can beat me and everything, but I don't know.
You win a lot.
Yeah.
What is your next goal? You've already bowled the 300. What is your next goal?
Probably to shoot 800.
Okay.
An 800 series.
What does that mean?
So that's also the next step up from a 300. So that would be your 3-game total of over 800. So that's an accomplishment.
How close have you come, Avery?
784.
Oh, you're going to get it. You're going to get it.
So to get an 800, you would have to roll 2 perfect games, would you not?
Pretty
close.
You have to average 266 for 3 games.
Very large series.
We don't do math on this program.
I was going to say, did you just insert math?
Yeah. I did 800 divided by 3.
Well, Avery, we wish you the best of luck. How can we follow your career? Where are you on social? I'm assuming, Dad, you're in on that too.
You want me to give out your social tag?
No, don't give it out on that. But like, if we wanted to just follow your career, do you have a bowling social?
Yeah, I have on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok.
Twitter, X, all of it. It's at AveryBourne300.
Okay, good. Oh, 300. Because like, you're in this tournament this coming weekend. I want to know how you do. I want you to beat all those old ladies.
Well, I'm going to try.
I'll tell you this. I'll give you $100 for your account if you turn around right before your first roll and go, y'all look a little long in the tooth back there. That doesn't mean anything to you, but I think your dad got the joke.
Avery, you are fabulous and humble, and we cannot wait to watch you soar. This is great. And you come back and let us know what college you pick, because I want to follow your career. This is great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you guys all for being here.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ. Jon Bon Jovi, abruptly ended a concert at Madison Square Garden last night early on. I think it was like 14 songs in, telling concert goers, quote, he had to cool it. Quoting here from Bon Jovi, don't throw away your ticket stubs. I'm going to figure out how to reschedule. I'm going to have to cool it for a night. Apparently he was about 90 minutes in to his performance and said he had to cancel due to a sinus infection. Quote, Jon Bon Jovi spoke from stage and told fans that he was battling a sinus infection, which led to the show's early ending as part of blah, 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 residency at Madison Square Garden. He is going to make the show up. The next show for the fans from last night will be free of charge, so to speak.
Yeah, of course.
I've already paid
for it. I've had sinus infections in the past where, like, just talking made my forehead vibrate so bad. I can't imagine trying to sing.
Well, that's apparently what got him last night. Hmm. And a lot of people, by the way, and to his credit, he recognized that he was not performing the way that he wanted to.
Yeah.
And said, hey, you know what? You've already paid for it.
Yep.
Even though we're 14 songs in.
For that kind of coin, we're gonna hit reset.
Yep, we'll be back.
We have an update for you guys on one of the stories that has just warmed my heart this year. If you remember the name Jake Hanna, we invited him onto the program several weeks ago because Jake did a video. He lives in Overland Park. He has been sick since age 3, and he needed a kidney donor. And he did this video on social saying, my name is Jake. I like to play soccer. but, you know, time is of the essence. They needed to find him a donor.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jake Hanna. I'm 13 years old. I was born in Overland Park, Kansas, and I'm going to be going into 8th grade this year. Some things I love doing are hanging out with friends, because I have some really nice friends, and also playing soccer, and I have a really big passion for playing it. I want to thank you for taking time of your day just to read over my story and be aware of what's happening. I also hope that you consider to be a living kidney donor, because for me and my family, that would just be life-changing. If you have a few seconds in your day, just share this with some friends and family so then the word can get out to them and they're all just aware. Also, here's my TikTok username.
He is the sweetest young man. We just all rallied and showered that family with love. And a moment ago, I got this email from Mama. Hello, Dana. Jake got his kidney transplant on Saturday.
Oh, that's great.
We ended up getting a call for a kidney from a deceased donor that was a really great match for Jake, and we decided that this was the way to go. Yeah. The new kidney is working great. We are now on our way home. Thank you again for spreading the awareness about organ donation. I know we had a lot of people call KU to get tested for Jake. One woman who was not a match for Jake decided she still wants to be a living kidney donor and is going to give hers to someone else. How cool is that, she says. And I attached a chart of Jake's kidney function and how quickly it went from kidney failure to normal range. Jake is healthy. He is home.
How old is
he? The kidney is working. He is 14.
Did you say 14?
I want to say.
I think so, yeah.
And just no family history or anything, just at age 3, went in for a check. He wasn't feeling well and was in kidney failure.
At three,
one of those things. And they said he's going to need a kidney before high school years. He's really going to need one. And they were looking for a living donor, but they ended up finding a deceased donor that was a great match. And Mom and Dad were not a great match. And
really?
I just want to applaud our entire listening family. Every one of our listeners, Scott, they called, they wrote, they're like, how can we help? Channel 9 then picked up the story and Krista Tatchell did it. So that so many people signed up just to see if they were a match for him. And even if you weren't, that's the beauty of the organ donation system. You can help save somebody else. So through Jake, he's already saving other people.
That surprises me that mom and dad were not a match.
They were, and so many things change the way they describe this. As Jake got older, they became less of a desirable match than they were years ago. So it really was a race to find the best match so he doesn't have to do this again.
Do we know if he was on dialysis or had it not progressed to that point
yet? How many pills a day, Sam? I think 27.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Pills he had to take a day and his kidneys were just barely functioning. So, Jake, we love you. I know you're resting at home, but I just, what great news. I just cried when I saw that email. Yeah. What a great young man, and we're so happy that you found your match, buddy.
We have a Patrick Mahomes update.
What's going on?
So training camp is set to start, and Andy Reid told reporters today, because as we know, Patrick Mahomes is recovering from a torn ACL, LCL. He had to have surgery at the end of last season. Yeah. Pardon me, in the middle of last season. Andy Reid told reporters today he has been fully cleared to participate. He will be doing any and everything at training
camp.
Now,
this is earlier than they anticipated. Is that right?
So the question was whether or not he would be ready for game one. I would read that getting full clearance in late July is far earlier than we thought.
So
yes.
I was on a phone call, but I had SportsCenter on in the background. And they were doing a segment called Fraud or Laud. L-A-U-D.
Fraud or Laud.
Fraud or Laud. And there was a picture of Patrick Mahomes. That's why it caught my attention. And it just said Chiefs offense. And I don't remember who the analyst was. You know, usually on SportsCenter, the analyst is somebody who has played professional football.
Yeah.
He said Chiefs offense, fraud.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but we win a lot.
Patrick Mahomes said to Nate Taylor, who partners with us over on 96.5 The Fan, quote, I plan to do everything I did before.
Good on him. Wow.
I love it. So did he elaborate on why he thinks we're fraud?
Well, like I said, I was on a phone call.
Okay, okay.
And I had the TV on mute, and I was sitting on the couch, love seat, in my living room, and I was just watching. When I saw Patrick Mahomes, I just started paying attention to the graphics on the screen.
Right.
And again, I don't even remember who the analyst was, but they highlighted the graphics on the TV highlighted the word fraud, and then they showed pictures of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in training camp. I'm assuming it was not current, probably from last year or something. And
obviously
training camp because they had four QBs in the video.
We take that video and we play it for Patrick Mahomes on a loop
because
he loves being doubted.
Sure. It's fuel.
Sure. Yeah. When we get back, 1988 was the year. North Dakota was the state. And did two boys leave the hospital with moms that weren't their own?
Do not tell me we have another switched at birth case in the stack.
We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dan and Parks. All right, story here from CBS News. Two moms are speaking out as they grapple with an unimaginable revelation that nearly 40 years ago, in 1988, their sons may have been switched at birth. Elizabeth O'Toole said she felt shocked when she learned that her son, Jeremy Morrison, was not biologically her child. Quoting here from Elizabeth, it felt surreal. I mean, it really didn't feel real until I met Kyle in person. Morrison said he was swapped at birth with Kyle Bylan. Morrison is Jeremy, who was the only other baby born at Unity Medical Center in North Dakota on January 26th.
You had one job. There were only two babies in there?
1988, according to a lawsuit filed by the families in state court last week.
And they were both named Kyle?
No, one was Jeremy, the other's Kyle.
Okay. Mama on the left looks like son on the right, and mama on the right looks like son on the left, without question.
Okay. By the way, the two birth announcements even appeared next to each other in the local newspaper.
Oh, my gosh.
Says Morrison, that's Jeremy Morrison, one of the boys, I would like to know if this was done intentionally. I mean, you would think with only two babies, it wouldn't be too hard to get them to the right families, but apparently it was.
What, are you alleging some conspiracy?
The hospital says it no longer has medical records from 1988.
Oh, how convenient. Okay, so this goes into that whole ethical debate that, oh my gosh, you guys, I don't even know where to begin. What life would you have had? Your entire life behind door number one was the life you would have had had you gone home with the correct biological parents.
Correct.
The people you met, the people you went to school with, the girlfriend that you met that lived down the street, like your entire life was supposed to be behind door number one. And instead,
you got door number two.
You got door number two. Do you want door number one? I mean, I know it's too late. That would jack with your head for the rest of your life.
So everything unraveled when Kyle, one of the two boys that we're talking about here, got a DNA.
Like a 23andMe.
Actually, it was a gift for Christmas, a DNA test from Ancestry.com.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. You're going to need therapy every day for the rest of your life.
His DNA happened to match the aunt. It's a long story. A long story is it's a relatively small town.
23andMe skipped. These ain't your kin.
Correct.
That's basically what happens.
And your kin is actually, it did match somebody across town. Who?
Oh God! They're still all in the same town.
Well, they're all in the same state.
They typically don't go very far.
Yeah.
But Dana, to your point about the whole "what life could I have had," that always takes me back to a documentary that I saw back in 2018 called "Three Identical Strangers." Have you heard of it?
Oh yeah, they separated triplets to do some
triplets
awful
in New York
study.
And they intentionally, the orphanage did this allegedly. I don't know if they were ever convicted, so I don't want to get in trouble.
He's dead. They should be.
They were allegedly. Intentionally put in three different socioeconomic classes.
To see what would happen.
To see if it was nature versus nurture. Mm-hmm. And they all met each other in college.
On accident.
Look exactly alike. They all acted the same, smoked the same cigarettes.
Oh, I remember that.
And their life
went
to turmoil after that.
Listen to this. Kyle Bylan is the one who discovered his birth family.
Yep.
After taking that at-home test that he chose randomly during a family Christmas gift exchange.
Got it.
So they did like a white elephant. You're going to swap this gift. I'm going to swap. I'll take the 23andMe. Or he still wouldn't know.
So they were both born same day, January 26th, 1988, at Unity Medical Center in Grafton, North Dakota. Population 4,000.
And your white elephant gift is a lifetime of therapy.
Oh, my gosh. And the only babies born. How does that happen?
The only two babies born on that day. That is correct.
Bylan, who was born Jeremy Morrison, this is so confusing, says he still has the hospital bracelet that misidentifies him as Kyle Bylan. So, well, that's confusing because...
No, you're Kyle Bylan.
Yeah.
These just aren't your parents.
Wow. 2 years have passed since the test shattered what they thought they knew about their families, including disorienting moments.
So they would have been 16 years old.
Yep.
Okay.
Emotional family meetings and thoughts about the what ifs. Like disorienting moments where you look back on your life and you go, I never felt like I fit in. Hmm. I never felt like.
So let's leave the lawsuits out because we both know they're coming.
You can just start adding zeros.
What do you do now? And don't say file a lawsuit because we already know that that's going to happen. So you're Kyle Bylan or you're Jeremy Morrison. Or let me put this in a better context. You are the parents
the mama.
Who raised Jeremy Morrison, okay? But you've now learned that Kyle Bylan is your biological son.
Yep, listen to Evelyn Newton. Kyle is still my son. That is never going to change. She raised Kyle as her own. But I feel robbed of the life I should have had with my biological son. You cannot go back and replace 35 years. First steps, driving a car, getting married. How do you make up for that? So if you're Kyle, you're listening to your mom, the only mom you've ever known, say, I love Kyle, but quote, I feel robbed of the life I should have had with the other child.
If you ever need proof that we don't math on this show, I said there were 16. I meant to say 36.
Yeah, that was I caught that.
Thank you for catching that. I just caught it in my own head. They were 36.
See, to me, Dana, and you bring up a good point, that reaction is worse than the switched at birth, in my opinion. Obviously, we can't go back and change what happened 36 years ago.
Right.
But now you're just discounting the love that you developed for this child throughout their entire life.
And I don't think she is. She's saying, like, I still love, he is always going to be my son. No, it she was said, the however.
Exactly. She said, I still love him, but.
Yeah, I caught that too.
Listen to one of the sons. I was loved. I played sports. I did well in school. A DNA test is not going to take away 38 years of memories.
But Mom Bylan, the lady who raised Kyle Bylan, Sam, I'm with you on that. It almost sounded like she said, you know, I still love Kyle. He is the man that I raised.
But what would have been?
I know.
That's that is a normal human reaction. That someone else raised your biological child and you raised someone else's biological child. You would want to know in a weird way, was he cared for?
Right. But I think, and Sam, maybe you and I are on the same page here. I think Mom could have worded it a little bit better.
Let's just say that if this were me and I can't put myself in their shoes, I can't understand their emotions right now because it's not me. But just looking at it as a third party, if that were my mom that said that exact statement, I'd be like, well, what the heck was wrong with me?
Like I'm right here, me. Mom. Right.
Bylan and Morrison have now met their biological parents. The encounters were welcoming but awkward. They have yet to meet each other but have spoken on the phone. We have tried to unite as a group and just recognize that no matter what, there's different ways that this can be socially messy. Everyone's getting to know people that they did not know before.
So here are pictures of Jeremy and Kyle.
Okay.
Now in their 30s.
Well, and as babies, they just look like cute little baby boys. Mm-hmm. They really do.
Mm-hmm. Both had hair on their heads.
Yes.
So nurse comes in with this baby. This I was in a little bit of shock and trauma earlier. I was giving birth, and that kind of looks like the baby they took out of the room. And I think, quick update, I do believe they have met, unless this is an AI picture. There's a picture of the two of them with one older woman. I'm assuming that's one of the moms.
Okay, so the son in the middle of this photo, you guys, looks exactly like the mom on the left. His nose, his smile, and his eyes.
Yeah.
It would just be so... It's one of those things you would just have to let it go, or it would eat you alive. The what-ifs would eat you alive. Because remember, there was another case, you guys, with two older men that found out in their mid-60s, I think out of New York, and one of them had a hell upbringing. Was raised in a home that was hell. And when they were switched, the other baby went to the home and they were loved and they were fed and they had all the clothing and they went on vacations and he went to college and, you know, and I'm not saying this is this case, but you would wonder what would it have been, what would my life have been like?
Yeah, I understand that, especially if you're one of the two boys here, men here now, they're in their late 30s. But if for example, you know, 15, 20 years from now, I found out that either Sarah or Maya were not biologically mine or Shonda's, okay?
Yeah.
Not that either one would have been the product of an affair. I'm saying—
You just want to know where did the other one go?
Shonda and I are not the parent of one of our kids, biological parents of one of our kids. It wouldn't, for me, it wouldn't change at all the way I feel about them. I would be worried it would change the way they feel about me.
Oh, see, I go something totally different. I would immediately want to know, where's that other baby? What happened to that other baby?
Hmm.
Were they loved? Are they still here? Are they, did they grow up in a house of horrors?
But like, Dana, what if the answers are not?
Because the then ones the child, yeah, because then the child you loved would have been in that situation, right? And you don't wish that on anyone.
But then, like, if you found out that your biological child who was switched at birth, okay, ended up in a house on the wrong side of the tracks.
You wouldn't want to know.
With methed out parents, did horribly in school, is still alive, but is really struggling because of that upbringing.
You wonder if they go to this mom in this case and they go, remember that time you spanked me? Well, guess what? She didn't spank. She wasn't a spanker.
913-586-7798. What do you got, Sam?
You ask, what do you do now? You get your now brother, because you're basically brothers, and go to the bar and just share stories.
Yeah, right.
I mean, let's compare, bro. How was your life?
Did you get a Nintendo Switch? Because I did.
Right.
Right. Did they make you go to dance camp?
913-586-7798. Maggie and the others, hang tight. We'll get with everybody in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Talking about a story out of North Dakota, where at 36 years old, two men from a white elephant gift, a DNA test, they found that they were switched at birth. What now?
I don't know. Why are you hosting the show all of a sudden?
Because neither of you were in there, and well, somebody had to talk, otherwise we were going to have to pay for that song.
Now, I was in here until I had to leave to let Dana back in.
Welcome to the Sam Show.
She had locked her... Well, I get a call from Dana on my cell phone.
He's like, hello?
And I know exactly, I shouldn't have even answered, just walked down the hall.
Uh-huh.
Because I know what the call is. I go, hello? I sound like that Missouri Highway Patrolman down at Table Rock Lake.
Water Patrol, he jumped.
Like, hello? And she goes, I've locked myself out and I don't know where Dan is. And I literally am listening to the traffic gal. And I just said to Sam, hold down the fort. I'll be back in a minute. Dana locked herself out.
Yep.
So I didn't want to pay for the song, so I just started talking.
Well, I appreciate
you,
that.
Sam. You just do you.
And you've already recapped the topic at hand.
I did.
Very nice. I appreciate you.
So we don't have to do that.
I'm happy to do it again.
Do you know what the topic should be? That it should be illegal to only have 3 minutes to go to the bathroom and wash your hands and run back and figure out that you don't have your keys.
But that wouldn't hold up in court because you had five.
No, you missed the last part. And to find out that you don't have your keys.
I need like 9 minutes.
You would have been here on time if you hadn't forgot your keys. Let's go to Ann in Kansas City. Ann, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, longtime listener. My husband was not, didn't have a twin or anything, but he did find out, or separated from birth, you know, with a twin.
Yeah.
But he did find out 52 years ago that he was his dad that he was raised with was not his biological dad.
How old was he when he found that out?
52.
Oof.
And he called after his mom she called me and said, hey, you know, can I come down and talk to my son? Because, you know, I have something to tell him. I was like, okay, we fingered a sickness or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, she only came down by herself, and she told him flat out, it's like, yeah, the father who raised you is not your biological dad.
Was she his biological mom?
And he raised him ever since he was born. He knew that he was born, but he adopted him at 2 years old when they got married.
Oh, okay. So he wouldn't have had any memory of that.
No, none at all. But still, all of his family members knew. And he called a couple of aunts and uncles later on asking, you know, hey, you know, what's going on? You know, this is what my mom told me. And she...
That's a hell of a secret, and to keep that many decades.
52 years, right? And we have two kids. Well, four, technically. But we were just baffled completely.
Huh. And thank you for the call. Thank you for the story. Let's go to Mary in Kansas City. Mary, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
First of all, welcome back, Scott.
Oh, thank you.
Right before you left, you guys did the ancestry story on the radio, and I took it to heart because I'm adopted. And I, that night after that airing, I got an email from Ancestry that I had a match, and I typically have just put them in the folder in my computer and not looked at them. But because of your story on the radio, I decided I'm going to look at it. And I found a half sister, and actually I have two half sisters, and we are going to meet next month. And I'm so excited. We're all so excited.
Oh, you're all going to meet, Mary. Wonderful.
Yes, I know. And it's all because I want you to keep those stories going. You guys do a great job keep talking about it because you never know who you're going to affect, you know, who you're going to impact and how you're going to impact their life. And you guys do a great job. And you and Sam, I just love listening to you all. So keep up the great work.
Thank you very
much. Mary, I'm glad you found your half-sisters, truly.
Cindy, we have less than a minute. Can you do it? Apparently not. Judy in St. Joe, we have even less than a minute. Can you do
it? Hi, Judy.
I can do it. Hi. Okay. First of all, I'm glad you're back. Thanks. I feel sorry for Sam having to handle Dana.
Yeah, it was terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, I know. So, first of all, the mother saying that she missed something. Giving birth doesn't make you a parent.
Yeah.
And the reality of raising a kid, no matter how, should be a blessing. And I feel bad for him that his mother said that. And I hope everything works out for them, because raising a child is a blessing, no matter whether it's your child or not.
All right, Judy. Appreciate the call. Thank you for it.
Unless your child's stolen from you because they were switched at birth.
Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is 1 hour from now here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.